Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can also check us out on Twitter at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. I'm very excited to welcome to the show the author of a new book called Where's My Fortune Cookie? His name is Phil Proctor. He's one of the co-founders of the legendary comedy group, the Firesign Theater. And his book, Where's My Fortune Cookie? My Psychic Surrealistic History Story is available now at planetproctor.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page. He's done so many things, incredible voiceover work. He's been in Broadway. He's been in TV. He's been in movies. Again, Firesign Theater. And now he's written this great book. And let's welcome Phil to the show. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, it's great to be. Where are you?
We're in Chicago.
Oh, it's great to be back in Chicago. I'm from Goshen, Indiana, you know, northern Indiana, near Elkhart and South Bend and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I left my adenoids with you in Chicago. Are they still there?
As far as I can tell, yeah, they're here. Yeah.
Good, good. They haven't gone anywhere.
Well, it's great to talk to you, man. I've been an admirer of yours and the Firesign Theater for years. I know that you guys know this, that how much you influenced people of my generation. And
yeah, true. So I apologize.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, let's talk first about the book. When did you decide to write this?
Well, I didn't. A friend of mine, Brad Schreiber, who's the co-author, who has written a wonderful book now called Revolution's End that's out there about the Symbionese Liberation Army and Patty Hearst and all that. He also writes comedy. You know, he's written a lot of books about comedy. He's taught comedy, and I got to know him through various other projects that we were involved in. And he said to me one day, you know, you've really got to tell your story while you can still remember it. And he said, so if you want to, I'll collaborate with you. And it was perfect because I work all the time, and I didn't have time to sit down and compose my story or tell my story, even though I've started several times.
Yeah.
So Brad came over to the house, and I'd talk into his little tape recorder machine, and then he'd give me he gave me a transcript of everything, and I said, wow, this is amazing. Did I really say this? Did I really do this?
Yeah.
I don't believe it. And I went through everything, and I said, well, I like it, but it's not in my own voice, so I had to kind of rewrite it with his approval and everything. And what came out of the collaboration was this story, which I basically told him was a story of coincidences, of amazing circumstances, of strange things that happened to me that I could not explain, all of which led me to really live the life that I have lived, have the incredible experiences that I've had in show business, meeting all of these amazing people, and ending up with this very bizarre, very unique career of being a member of a four-person satirical comedy group, which I never dreamed would ever happen.
Yeah.
Called the Beatles of Comedy by the Library of Congress.
Absolutely.
My God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and having, a cultural impact on people. Well, that was ultimately a choice that I made because I had to turn other things down in order to continue to do it. But it certainly wasn't what I set out to do in life.
Yeah. Well, that's
okay? So that's really what the book is about. How do you get from point A to point Z when you're not anywhere at all?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably true for all of us if you think about it.
There's amazing stories in here. You mentioned of coincidence and strange things that would happen, and I love that way, and I love the way the book is structured. And I do want to mention that Firesign Theater, you guys, and I discovered you guys right around the time I discovered Python, and it was mind blowing to me.
Mind blow there.
Yeah,
because we were doing Firesign back in the late 60s and early 70s, when I finally kind of met up with some of the Python players, they all told me that they were influenced by Firesign Theater.
Yeah.
you know, which was wonderful to hear. But we were all influenced by a little thing called the Goon Show.
Here, yes.
Right? And yeah. The Goon Show was a long-running, very surrealistic half-hour comedy show in England during the war, really, and then into the 50s, which starred Spike Milligan and Peter Sellers primarily.
Right.
You know, and Harry Secombe. But they set the groundwork for this crazy, out of control kind of comedy that both the Firesign Theater and Monty Python embraced and carried on into the 20th and 21st century.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird because I went from being like an 11-year-old kid laughing at Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah.
To like literally 2 weeks later after my dad turned me on to Python. And then I found you guys, and like everything changed. I didn't think Welcome Back, Kotter was funny anymore.
It's funny you say that because, as you know, in the book,
Marcia Strassman, yeah.
I dated Kotter's wife.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And also, who was the guy who went on Saturday Night Live? What's his name? No, not Saturday. Saturday Night Fever.
John Travolta.
John Travolta.
Yeah.
He was sitting. I'm looking right now. I'm in the same house I was in. He was sitting right over there to my left, here in this room where I'm talking to you from.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
It's amazing.
Again, the people I've met, the experiences I've had, absolutely unbelievable. I'm so blessed.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about all of that stuff, the experiences, but we have to open up this conversation with how you open the book with an incredible story.
Yeah.
And also that's where the title of the book comes from.
Okay. The book is called Where's My Fortune Cookie? And it's based on an experience that I had because I toured with Peter Bergman, who was half the wits of the Fireside Theater, Procter & Bergman.
Right.
Some people know us because of that, because we were doing short-form comedy. And we were, you know, appearing. We toured all over the country and in Canada. So we were on shows all over the place. And at one point, we performed up in San Francisco. 1977, 40 years ago, September, we performed at a club in San Francisco. And after the show, a friend of ours, Dr. Bill Alexander from Tiburon, took us out to dinner. But he wanted to take us to a place called the Trident, and it was closed by the time we got there. So he said, listen, we'll go to Chinatown. Things are open late there. So we drive down to Chinatown. We find a parking place in front of the most popular restaurant called the Golden Dragon
right.
in San Francisco. And we pop out and we go in. It's like 2:30 in the morning. And the waiter says, you better order fast. We're going to close soon. Well, so I'm bending over my second cup of soup. And I hear bang, bang, crash, crash, scream, scream. And I feel stuff flying over my head. I look up and I see three Chinese guys, with stocking masks over their face, shooting up the place. One of them has a shotgun, another one has a pistol, and another one has a machine gun. And they're killing people right in front of us, okay? And I go under the table behind the steel column that supports the table, and I'm thinking, I just learned that morning that my wife, my second wife, Barbara, Sammy, she's Norwegian, was pregnant with my child, our child. That morning I learned this. And I'm thinking, well, I'm either going to be killed or wounded, which will change my life forever, or Peter will be wounded, which will change our touring life forever, or I'm going to survive and raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, what a responsibility. So I'm facing, like, being and nothingness. And finally, the shooting stopped. I went, oh, I'm alive. I made it.
Yeah.
So I get up, and I see the guys leaving, the murderers leaving the restaurant. And I look around, and there's chaos and horror, dead people and wounded people. And immediately, the door to the restaurant, a cameraman and a lighting guy come in. And they scan the scene, and they leave. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know, right? What? How is this possible? And then immediately cops and triage people, medics, come pouring in. The smell of cordite is still in the air,
yeah.
Right? and they start, you know, cutting clothes off of people and saving people and whatever. Now, what had happened was, and here's the strange parallel with Brad Schreiber, my co-author. The Symbionese Liberation Army had phoned in phony bomb threats to that part of San Francisco. So all of the available news people and the cops and the medics were down there.
Already, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they actually heard the shooting, and that's why only 5 people died and 11 people were wounded.
Hey, listen, hang on a second, okay, Phil?
Sure.
We got to take a quick break. And yeah, he was right in the middle of this fire, this crossfire, these guys coming in, the rival gangs, Chinese gang war. He's right in the middle of that, survived it. And we're going to come back. When we come back, I want him to tell us how that was almost predicted by a person that he knew. All this weird psychic stuff that's happened. Phil Proctor is co-founder of the legendary group, the Fire Sign Theater. His book is called Where's My Fortune Cooking? We'll talk more with him after the news right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And, yeah, we 312-981-7200 for talk and text. My guest is Phil Proctor. He's a co-founder of the legendary group, the comedy group, the Fire Sign Theater. He's been on TV. He's been in movies. He's been the voice of many unbelievable, memorable characters in animation, voiceover work. He's done it all, and he's had a crazy ride, and he's written it all in a book called Where's My Fortune Cookie, which is written by him and Brad Schreiber. It's available now, and I highly recommend it, and Phil's got a ton of stories to tell. Phil, welcome back.
Hey, thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Good. You know, okay, so you told this incredible story about how you were in the crossfire of this gang war in Chinatown. Yeah. But that was someone predicted that that would happen to you. Tell that part of it.
Yeah, I know. This prompted me to say, like, I got to tell these stories. And it's kind of a complicated story. I'll try to make it simple.
Okay.
Peter and I were on the road, and we were portraying 2 alien characters, Zippo and Beepo from the planet Gorko. Okay, and basically we were doing this because we felt that it was, you know, inevitably there would be a revelation that we were not alone in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we might as well make comedy about it to help to make people ready for it if it was going to happen. So we're traveling around. We were in Chicago actually performing,
mm-hmm.
and I read this article about this guy Uri Geller, who apparently said he had contact with the aliens. And he, you know, he could bend spoons. And I said to Bergman, I got to meet this guy. We got to meet this guy. So we were flying into New York to be interviewed by a guy named Tony Hiss, Alger Hiss's son. Another whole story.
Yeah.
For the New Yorker, as our alien characters in the New Yorker's Talk of the Town. So we did our interview. I go to our gig, and there's a message for me from a girl named Sharon. Now, I don't know a girl named Sharon, so I called. Oh, yeah, and the message said, Uri Geller wants to meet you. That's what the message said. And I'm going to Peter, what the heck is what? So I did material. Oh, yeah, Uri Geller, born with a bent spoon in his mouth, blah, 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 blah. After the show is over, I call this number, and it turns out that this is a girl named Sharon, who I had a brief relationship with,
mm-hmm.
and I was sharing a house with Jeremy Clyde of Chad and Jeremy when we were all under contract to Columbia Records in Los Angeles. And now she's been married, she has a kid, and she's working with Uri Geller and Andrea Puharich in Ossining, New York, at this psychic center that they have. So naturally, I take the train up, and we spend an evening together. During our time reuniting together, a whole lot of bizarre stories about contact with UFOs and, you know, amazing events. And among everything that she says, finally she says, look, Phil, I'm sorry, I hate to have to tell you bad news, but I have to tell you this. And here's what she says to me. You and Peter are going to be involved in a gangland shooting with foreigners. People will be killed and wounded around you, but you and Peter will escape unscathed.
It's amazing.
And then, like 2.5 or 3 months later, it happens.
That's
I didn't think about this until, you know, at least a week later when I said, oh, my God, Sharon told me that this was going to happen.
Yeah. That's a crazy. And, you know, you have a lot of incredible coincidences throughout the book and the stories that have happened to you.
Yeah.
It's really nuts. Let's talk about the formation of Fire Sign Theater. Tell us about how that came together, how you guys, all the four of you guys came together.
Well, that was weird, too, because, as I told you, Peter and I went to Yale together. Okay?
Right, right.
Fine. He's from Cleveland. I moved the letters around. It spells leave and see. Or a C and leave, I guess, is better. All right, I'm from Goshen, Indiana. If you move the letters around, it's he's gone. All right, so these two boys, these Midwestern boys, meet up at Yale, and we're both in show business. We, you know, he's writing lyrics, and I'm an actor and a singer. So we meet up, and we did whatever we did together. We go our separate ways. I did a show that brought me out to L.A. called The Amorous Flea, a musical based on Molière's School for Wives, please. And after that show ended, I went back and did a Broadway musical called A Time for Singing. And then after that, I did a show with an actor named Brandon DeWilda, who was Shane in Quebec Shane. You know, Shane, the movie Shane.
Yeah.
Hey, Quebec Shane, little kid actor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Brandon had married the sister of a guy I went to school with, another guy from Yale,
yeah,
in my class. Okay, another coincidence. And Brandon and I became really close friends. And he wanted to change his career. He wanted to have a musical career. So we were meeting up with, like, Graham Parsons of the International Submarine Band and all these extraordinary people in New York in the East Village at that time. He decides he wants to go back out to resuscitate his career in L.A. We drive out together. We connect up with Peter Fonda. I don't know why. Okay, I don't know why. And the three of us become the Three Musketeers. And we're driving around L.A. having a great time together. And Peter's working on a little movie idea he's got, which turned into Easy Rider,
right,
eventually, right?
Right.
So he's doing research on the youth revolution. So we all, Brandon and Peter and I, end up at the Sunset Strip on the night that the infamous Sunset Strip riot happened because the kids were all protesting a curfew.
Right.
They wanted to impose, right?
Right, right.
So during that time, we had like a sit-down strike so that the sheriffs and the L.A. police couldn't, you know, we will not be moved, couldn't move us out of there. And I sat down on an open issue of the L.A. Free Press, which was the radical newspaper at the time. I sat down on Peter Bergman's face. Okay? I pulled the paper out from under me, and there's a picture of Peter Bergman, and it says, KPFK newsman Peter Bergman interviews returning war veterans. And I said to Peter DeFonda, I said, I know this guy. We went to Yale together. And then the riot happened. He got beaten up. Brandon got arrested. I was writing for the L.A. Free Press at the time, so I held up my press card, and the cops let me alone. The next day, I called Peter, and he says, oh, yeah, I'm the Wizard of Oz. And I thought, oh, boy, he's really gone to the deep end here. I said, what are you talking about? Well, he had created a radio show on a listener-supported Pacifica station, KPFK, in Los Angeles, called Radio Free Oz. And he was the wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the show was on for like 10 to 2 every night. It was the first counterculture call-in talk show. Okay?
Yeah.
And he said, come on down and we'll play. So, sure. So I go down there that night. And I meet the two other guys. I meet David Osman,
mm-hmm,
Phil Austin, who are also fire signs. I'm a Leo. Peter is a Sagittarian. Osman is a Sagittarian. Austin is an Aries.
Right.
We're all fire signs. And since Bergman is doing this cockamamie show, you know, New Age show,
right,
you know, being fire signs together, that was like, you know, a theme. Oh, we're all fire signs. Wow. And we started improvising and playing together, and we discovered that all of us had the Goon shows in common.
Yep.
We all loved surrealistic, crazy, you know, a comedy, and we had this knack to improvise and create characters together on the radio. And Bergman was the perfect straight man.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we're all stoned, but he was able to play straight. Okay, go figure that out.
Yeah. But Phil, hang on, okay?
The Empire State Theater evolved, and we became as famous as Bergman did on his show. And that was the origin of the group, because we realized that we could play on the radio and take a listenership really far out, you know, with our fake characters.
Right.
In our fake stories.
Right. Okay, Phil, hang on, okay?
Sure.
Okay, there we go. We're talking with Phil Proctor, who is one of the co-founders of You Just Heard How It Started, the Fire Sign Theater, legendary stuff. He's got so many great stories in this book, Where's My Fortune Cookie? And you've got to check it out. It's a terrific book. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Phil Proctor right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of Tribune Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue here till 5 a.m. My guest is Phil Proctor, who has done so many things in the entertainment business, from working on the stage, TV, voiceover work, film, and, you know, one of the co-founders of the Fire Sign Theater. And he's put some of these incredible stories to print, and the book is called Where's My Fortune Cookie? My Psychic Surrealistic Story. It's available now. You can check out planetproctor.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. And we welcome Phil back. Welcome back, Phil.
Hey, Nick. Yeah, you know, it's available at Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I guess the people would probably know me best as Howard on the Rugrats for 14 years.
Yes.
Okay, which is an entirely different, way of knowing my career, and I'm also the drunken French monkey in the Dr. Dolittle movies. I am a social drinker, you know, and I've done all kinds of Pixar movies and Disney movies, and that's in a way the thing that has made me, you know, kind of internationally famous.
Yeah,
all right, but culturally, Fire Sign Theater, as you know, because we did influence your poor little mind as well, right? I mean, that was because it was on the radio, and it could stimulate people's imaginations, and it could stimulate people's careers, because they said, hey, these guys are crazy, and they have a career. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Why can't I have one too, right?
Yeah. I love the voice. You mentioned that you do a lot of voice work. Are you currently the voice on Big Brother?
Oh, no. There have been maybe seven or eight different guys.
Oh.
Brother.
Okay.
I was the voice for three seasons, Big Brother, previously on Big Brother 3.
Yeah.
No, and I, of course, used the Big Brother voice, which you have to use. Do it, you know. I'm watching you right now, Nick, in fact.
Yeah.
You're not wearing any pants while you broadcast. How brave of you. Anyway.
That's great. Listen, so let me talk. I want to mention a couple of the stories that you have where you had interactions with some amazing people.
Okay.
We just lost Jerry Lewis a few weeks ago, and one of my comedy gods and one of my heroes.
Oh, sure.
And can you talk about the Jerry Lewis interaction?
Yeah, sure. I had a strange connection with Jerry Lewis as well, because I went to a school. I had a very privileged upbringing, I must say, from a boy, a Hoosier from Goshen, Indiana.
Yeah.
My mom married my father, Tom Proctor, whose dad, Robert E. Proctor, was a state senator in Indiana. And as a judge, before he became a senator, he was responsible for exposing the Ku Klux Klan in northern Indiana. So eventually, my dad moved to New York. And so I had a privileged childhood. I went to a wonderful school, Allen Stevenson School, which had a theater program where I, you know, first did female leads in Gilbert and Sullivan shows.
Yeah.
You know, and learned that I really, you know, had fun acting on the stage. So one of the things that we did was we raised some money, and I was chosen to present a check to Jerry Lewis on really the first telethon, live telethon in New York.
Yeah.
And that was my first encounter with Jerry. You know, very innocuous, but you know, it was live on national television.
Right.
Many years later, my uncle, Clarence Urist, who was a production assistant in films, took me on the set when I first came out to L.A. took me to the set of one of Jerry Lewis's movies, but I didn't meet Jerry at that occasion. And then another guy named Alan Katz was doing a television show, which I was involved in, and I got to work with Jerry on the television show. I was the straight man, and Jerry, of course, was
right.
the comic.
Right.
But I got to meet him, and we liked one another. So a couple of years later, he cast me in one of his movies called, I believe it was called Cracking Up.
Right, and it was originally called Smorgasbord.
Yeah, yeah. Smorgasbord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the gag that I was involved in with Jerry, and by the way, I have to say, I know Jerry was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of my friends who worked with him, especially my friends who are directing, have terrible stories about Jerry.
Right.
Not as a professional. He was a wonderful comic actor. We all know that.
Yeah.
And his character, that crazy character he called the idiot, was wonderful and influenced us all, again, to be able to be crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? We could be childish, we could be crazy, we could be, we could act out, and we would be loved.
Yeah.
He was loved. We loved him. So anyway, nonetheless, Jerry was nuts, but he always treated me with great respect, and I had nothing but good relationships with him. Now, the gag we were doing in this movie was that Jerry had given up smoking and became suicidal, remember?
Right, yeah.
Now, the scene you didn't see in the movie was that at one point he goes out on a ledge to kill himself, and they don't know how to talk him down, so they send out people who represent different religions to talk to him. And there's a rabbi, and there's a Catholic priest, and there's a Buddhist monk, and there's a Protestant a pastor,
yeah.
me,
right.
And we all inch our ways out on this ledge. We have to, you know, go over everybody else who's been there. And eventually they send out his mother to tell him not to jump. And his mother weighs 350 pounds, right? And the ledge, with all of us on it, collapses, and we all fall into a net below. Well, great gag. We rehearsed for 2 days. They had this fake ledge, which would slowly lower, and we would all fall off, and it would be speeded up. And so the day of the shoot, the actual shoot, we all show up. We're in costumes. We're ready to do it. We shoot but there had been a little mistake. The scenic design company had sent 2 backdrops, which were the wrong size. Do you remember in what's that one? That the movie? Harry Shearer, the rock band.
Yes, the Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap.
The
yes.
Stonehenge. Stonehenge.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Stonehenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
That actually happened.
Yeah.
they said 2 backdrops of New York that were the wrong size. The one that was supposed to be horizontal was smaller than the one that was supposed to be vertical. But they hung them anyway. They shot the scene, and the scene didn't look right, and they cut the whole sequence.
After all of that work.
Yeah. Now, in these days, you know, with green screens
right.
and blue screens
right.
and ice cream for ice cream, they could have projected
yeah.
anything they wanted back there. And
it would have been fine.
But no, this was like maybe 5 years before that invention. And so
it all got cut.
It all got cut. I still get residuals for it. They still pay me for it because I was there.
You were there, yeah.
I was there, which is, again, the Fireside Theater has always asked the question, how can you be in 2 places at once
yeah.
when you're not anywhere at all?
There you go. Phil, I got to tell you, it's been an absolute delight talking to you, man.
Thank you, too.
I'm a huge fan, and I love the book, and I wish you the best success to continue. It was really a delight to talk to you, Phil.
Okay, till the next time.
Okay, buddy, take care.
You too.
All right. Phil Proctor, everybody, the co-founder of the legendary comedy group, the Firesign Theater. His book is called Where's My Fortune Cookie? And it's terrific. You can get it on Amazon, and we have a link on our Facebook page for more information. That was a treat. Okay. We're going to take a break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.